Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the campus grounds of Gillespie Park Elementary School. We invite you to worship, praise, fellowship, and learn of the mighty works and teachings of Christ according to the Bible that's catered to children, teens, and adults. This year's mission statement focuses on determined obedience, where we do just that and do the work as believers in Jesus Christ, creatively, accordingly, with fun and an abundance of love. We promise you, visiting us is an experience that you will carry with you for life. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.
The blood still works, amen. Amen. It doesn't never lose its power, does it? That's why once you give in, you caught up, eh? Ain't nothing else you can do about it, amen. You sung another song that said amen, right? Say, let the church say amen. No matter what the situation look like, say amen. No matter how it goes on, God's got it. Just say amen. It said let the church do that, amen. Amen, amen. Somebody ought to be happy about that thing. I think there's somebody that can go ahead and think back to some things that you've been through, some things that's happened in your life, where all you had to do was just say, Lord, just if you just take care of it, I don't care how it gets worked out no more, just work it out. And somebody just said amen to that. Somebody ought to be happy about that thing. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Look, Deuteronomy, chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn there? Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're just going to read a couple of verses together. Amen. Just a couple of verses together. Although we've read all of those other scriptures, it's going to encompass those scriptures and a lot more. But we're just going to read a couple of verses as we would come together in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of God's word. Thank you so very much. Chapter 10, amen. Amen, amen. Everyone there? We got it. We're going to concentrate on two verses, 12 and 13, amen. 12 and 13. It says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Let us pray. Lord, once and again, we say thank you. God, thanking you for right now, Lord. Yeah, we came in here at 11 o'clock, God, but we was in a promise to make it to this time right here. So we thank you for allowing us to make it right now. And so, Lord, since we're here, Father, since we've come all this way, Lord, open up our ears and our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to receive what thus saith the Lord. For, Lord, we need you every step of the way. We need your guidance in every parcel of our life. God, we love you and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Deuteronomy is a book that has promises in it. Matter of fact, the Bible is full of all kinds of promises. We see promises throughout the Bible. God says, I promise you I'll do this. I promise you I'll do that. Then he has some promises that says, well, I promise you if you do this, then I will do that. So there's all kinds of promises throughout the Bible. But one of the things the book of Deuteronomy is noted for is curses. It's curses. It's said that the majority of the book of Deuteronomy has curses in it. And so in other words, Israel, you messed up, so this is what's going to happen to you. If you do this, then I will do that. I promise you I'll do it, but it won't be a good thing. It'll be a curse. Amen. I want to talk to you from the subject today to remember God's promises. Remember God's promises. Amen. Now, we're in the Old Testament, and here in the Old Testament, we see directly that the Bible is referring to the God's chosen people. He's referring to Israel. He's referring to the tribes. He's referring to those that were in bondage in Egypt. He's referring to those that have now come out and now in the wilderness. This is what's going on here. And here in this conversation, in this dialogue, it comes back and it's saying, look, let me let you know what it is God requires of you. Remember God's promises. He promised something. I want you to remember what those promises are. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 10, you'll find it says here in these couple of scriptures that we just read, it says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? I want you to go ahead and let you know that in encompassing God's promises, one of the things that he's done in making a promise is what he's done is he said, I'm showing you that I'm committed to you. I'm showing you that I'm committed, regardless of what's going on, I'm committed to you. If anyone's ever read the Bible and you've read about God's chosen people, you'll see that countless times they went against him. Countless times they were disobedient. Countless times they messed up. Countless times they worshiped other gods. Countless times they went against doing what it is he was telling them to do. But he was still committed to his chosen people. Even today, God is still committed to his people. Amen. It's not that he won't forgive you. There will be consequences, but forgiveness is still on the table. Amen. So here in this particular area, Moses is going over and he's recounting all of the different things. You'd actually have to go back maybe to about the 8th chapter for you to go ahead and get the full, the totality of the whole story here of what's going on to actually see. Moses is saying, look, don't you remember what God did? One of the things that Moses talks about, he says, look, don't you remember the Ten Commandments? Don't you remember when we went up into the mount and when we got there into the mount and I was there for 40 days and I was there for 40 nights and I took two blank tablets and God wrote these commandments upon these tablets. And when I came down from the mountain, when I came down from the mountain, what you had done is you had taken all of your gold. You had taken everything that God had blessed you with, because don't get caught up in Hollywood and think that when God's chosen people came out of Egypt, they came out beaten down and poor. No, the Egyptians said, here, take whatever you want and go ahead away. So they actually took their earrings and they melted down their earrings and they made this golden calf. And Moses gets down at the bottom of the mountain as he's coming down the mountain, as he sees them worshiping this golden calf. And actually the first two tablets that was written with the Ten Commandments, the Bible says that Moses dropped them out of his hands. They fell out of his hands. The commandments that he was given to them, that they would prosper. The commandments that he was giving to them, that they would be a better people. Moses dropped those tablets. But the Bible says that he went back and got some more. That God said, I'll write the same promises on these tablets that I had written on the other ones. I want you to know that no matter what the enemy tells you that you've been through, no matter what's happened in your life, that it can't be fixed, remember God's promises. He's committed to you. He's committed to you. And so just like as we see in the Old Testament, we'll see in the New Testament, as Jesus Christ says, look, if you commit yourself to me, then I'm committed to you. Amen. If you commit yourself to Jesus, then Jesus is committed to you. Here Moses says, look, these are the things that he requires. He says, look here in verse number 12. He requires us to fear. To fear. Well, what does he require us to fear? He requires us to fear him. That's why when we see that the spies went into the promised land and they got there to the promised land and they saw these giants and everybody else was saying, no, we can't do it. 10 spies came back with the report that they couldn't make it. But two of them said, no, we can defeat them. We can make it. That's why no matter how strenuous the task get, we see story after story in the Bible, how we look at it and we say, gosh, that's pretty rough. It looks like an opportune time to give up. But they didn't give up. Why? Because God keeps his promises and says, I'd rather fear not doing what it is God would have for me to do than to worry about what man could do to me. That's why those three little boys that was able to go into the fire said, no problem. You ain't got to try to struggle to get me in the fire. The Bible doesn't say that they struggled walking up into the fire, but the Bible declares that they walked right on in with no problem. because they remembered his promises that he said, I'll take care of you. I'll keep you. Only fear God. Amen. So now in that this day and this time, as we're looking here in 2015, what are you scared of? Why aren't you doing what it is God had told you to do? Why aren't you using a gift that God has blessed you with? Even this morning, and speaking to one of our young men to come up here and stand up to sing and say, well, I don't like people looking at me. What you scared of? God's blessed you with the gift. If you go ahead and do what it is he would have for you to do, don't you worry about it. Because let me share something with you. People are going to talk about you. People are going to have things to say. Things are not going to line up always the way that you want them to be. But remember God's promises. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake. I'll be right there. I'll supply your every need. And so that's where we look back and say, you know what? If I'm going to fear anything, I'm going to be afraid of not doing what it is God would have for me to do. Forget y'all. I'm going to do what it is he wants me to do. Yeah. Thank you, boss. Yeah, thank you for my job. Yeah, thank you for my paycheck. But you know what? I'm going to do what it is he wants me to do. That's why when I hear people say, well, oh, they don't allow prayer in school, and oh, you can't do this on your job. I don't know what school you went to or what job you on, but I can pray wherever I'm at. I can praise him wherever I am. It might not have to look like what everybody else thinking. I can just say, Lord, bless you. And keep it moving. I remember I was tasked with having to pray at our county commissioners meeting. And they said, yeah, well, you can't really identify any particular language or any particular religion. You know, they didn't want you to make certain references and all that other kind of stuff. And I was tore up over that thing. I said, wow, you know, I'm used to praying in Jesus' name when I get through. I'm used to saying that. There's certain things I'm used to saying when I pray. And I said, well, okay, Lord, you're stretching me. You're putting me in outside of my comfort zone to do something different. And as I began to pray more about it and I began to think more about it, I said, wait a minute. I serve a God that spoke to nothing and nothing had to respond. I know that if I stand up here, I can say whatever, but he knows my heart. And so when I say I'm praying to God, hey, he knows exactly who I'm talking to. So regardless of what anybody else got to say, I'm worried about what it is God would have for me to do. So I'm going to do it the way he would have for me to do it. And now if they got offended, if they got pissed off or whatever, then they just did. But I had to do what it is God would have for me to do. And you have to do the same thing. Only fear God. Amen. Moses says, what does it that God requires of you? He didn't say, this is what I'm requiring of you. He says, what is it that the Lord thy God would require of thee? He says, to fear the Lord thy God. It says, now to walk in his ways, to walk in his ways. That doesn't mean to do anything that I want to do, because a lot of people will go ahead and say, well, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and do this, but the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, he really does know your heart. So doesn't mean that I could just walk and go do it any old kind of way. It says to walk in his ways. That means that I need to go ahead and do it in a way that's going to be pleasing to God, that God's going to be happy with what it is that I do. So that means that my talk is not contrary to my walk, and my walk is not contrary to my talk. That means that all of that has to line up. Okay, let me break it down even simpler. That means that the person that I see in the grocery store ought to be the same person that I see on Sunday morning. That means the same person that I see on Sunday morning ought to be the same person I see at the house behind closed doors. That means that there ought to be some consistency in our lives. You know why most people don't come to church? You know why most people call church people hypocrites? You know why most people have church hurt and have church problem? It's because there's inconsistency within the body of Christ. Because there's folk that are not consistent with their worship. They're not consistent with their praise. They're not consistent with their talk. They're not consistent with their prayer. It says that this is what the Lord God would require of thee, that you would fear him. Amen. And that you would walk in his ways. It also says here, it says, and to love him. This is all in the 12th verse. And it says, and to love him. Well, what does it mean to love God? Well, to love God, that means that I got to actually put other people before me. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe shall be saved. Amen. That breaks down in Greek to say that God loved us. And in his love for us, he chose to define giving himself for us as love. He chose to define giving himself for us as love. God could have called love anything, but he chose to call love his act that he did for his creation. What the Creator actually did for the creation. And so if the Creator was willing to put himself at risk to bless the creation, then how much more should the creation be willing to put themselves at risk for somebody else? If we're going to be Christ-like, then we have to do what he did. He gave his life for somebody else. Knowing that folk were going to mess up, knowing that folk wasn't going to do it, knowing that folk were going to still go back to their ways, but he still said, here on the cross I am. And so the next time that you see somebody in need, and the next time you see somebody going through, and your flesh starts to mess with your mind, and it starts to say, well, if I give it to them, they only going to do this. Well, if I bless them, they only going to do that. Well, if I stick my neck out there for them, they ain't going to do nothing but stab me in the back. Don't you know that can't nobody do nothing that God don't allow? Does God say, what I'm judging you on, what I'm looking at is the fact of what somebody else does with what I give you? And so if I reach in my pocket and I give Brother Newman some money and Brother Newman goes out and spends it contrary to God's word, am I held accountable for what he just did? Or does God look at me and say, you know what? When I needed something, you didn't give it to me. When I brought somebody to you to ask for something, you didn't do it. What God looks at me is on what I did, not on what he does. And so to love him means that I got to be willing to put somebody else before me. That means no matter how much my spouse gets on my nerves, I got to be willing to put them before me. No matter how much my children, I got to be willing to put them before me. No matter that stranger, I got to be willing to put them before me. If we're going to be Christians. Now, if we just want to be a cult of folk that come together in an organized form, then we can go ahead and do whatever we want to do. But if we're going to be God's church without a spot or a wrinkle, we got to be willing to love one another to show God love. Amen. Amen. Here in verse 12, still, it says that we have to fear him. It says that we have to walk in his ways. It says that we have to love him. And then it says we have to serve him. So how is it that I serve Christ in what it is that I do? How is it that I show Christ in everything that I do? That means that I have to be able to allow myself to be a servant. When the time came, what happened? They were up in the upper room. They were there for the Last Supper. And Jesus got to a point in the Last Supper where he took off his clothes and he bent down and he grabbed a basin of water and he said, I must wash your feet. And the disciples said, oh, you're not going to wash my feet, Jesus. Jesus then says, well, look, if I don't wash your feet, then you can't have a part with me. And there goes old Peter. Old Peter said, well, just don't wash my feet. Wash me all over. Jesus is, he says, look, I'm a servant leader. He says, yes, I'm God, the creation. Yes, I can call angels to come and defeat the enemy. Yes, I could wipe all of this out, but I've come here for salvation. I've come here to serve. I've come here to do my father's business. It's not about me. It's about my father's business. My father said I needed to be a sacrifice. My father said this is what I needed to do. My father didn't say look upon them and judge them because judgment wasn't at that time. He said, but my father requires that I would come here and that I would go to the cross. My father requires that I would sin not. My father requires that I would hang here until my time is over. My father also required that after 3 days in the tomb that I'd get up. My father also required that once I got up that all power would be in my hand. My father also required that there would be no other name greater than the name of Jesus Christ. God has things planned just for you. Nobody else can do what it is you can do. There's service that he requires for you to do. There's folk that you touch and there's folk that you interact with that nobody else is interacting with. There's some folk that doesn't even understand who Jesus really is until they have their encounter with you. God has a gift living inside of you to be able to bless someone else that they might say, "What must I do to be saved?" And it's all based upon the God they see in you. And so if your service doesn't line up, it could be something to throw somebody off. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that when judgment comes, that when our time comes, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, that we're standing in front of God and he says, "Now it's judgment time." And he says, "Do you know how many people I sent your way?" But because you were more concerned about them than about me, they didn't get it. Because you'd rather fear them than fear me. But because you were more concerned about what everybody else was going to say, so your walk was contrary to my word, but you did it pleasing in man's eyes. Because you wasn't willing to show any love, because your attitude wasn't right. How devastating would it be to know that, you know what, I even sent your loved ones, you know, the ones that you was praying for, I sent them to you. But you was more concerned about service at the church than you were about service in your own home. You were more concerned about service in church than you were about service in your workplace. Come on, if you work 40 hours a week, the majority of us spend more time at work than we do at home. Folk that we're around all day long, how painful will it be to find out that the person that's been sitting beside you all these 20 some years or however long you've been working this job wasn't saved and you never opened your mouth? Amen. It says to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him. And then it says the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. It says with everything you have, serve him. Amen. Verse 13 says to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And so now, not only to fear him, not only to walk, not only to love, not only to serve, but now to observe. To observe what it is God has said unto us. That means pick this up and spend some time with it. My boss has just moved here from Florida, got a new boss, and Friday, he was telling me how he wasn't a church goer. That's how he defined it. And he questioned the Bible because he said the Bible is just written by man. And, you know, man could have written anything. And there's people that manipulate it. And there's people that misuse it and all other kinds of stuff and all that. And I listened to him and I said, "Yeah, I agree. I agree that the Bible was written by man. I do agree that people misuse it. I do agree that people manipulate it. I do believe some people held it." We can look at slavery. Masters and all that kind of stuff actually took the Bible and actually held it over slaves' head to say, "Yeah, you can't do this. Yeah, you can't do that because it's written in the Bible." Anybody seen 12 Years a Slave? He was quoting scripture in that. I said, "Yeah, those things are true." I said, "But have you ever picked it up and read it for yourself?" Because all of that other stuff sounds good, and I agree that, yeah, man, anytime man gets involved in something, man can mess it up because we're born into a sinful nature. It's in our nature to sin. It's in our nature to choose the wrong thing. We actually have to have a choice within ourselves to say whether I'm going to do the right thing or whether I'm going to do the wrong thing. That's why you don't take a baby and you have to teach a baby to do wrong. A baby already knows to do wrong. You have to teach the child to do the right thing. That's why you feel good when you come to church. That's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Feel good when we come to church. Being around like-minded believers. But here we see this situation here. And when I was talking with my boss, have you read it? In other words, do you have a personal relationship? A relationship outside? You're saying you're not going to church. Okay. But do you have a relationship with him yourself? In other words, when you're in a car and you're about to get in an accident, what do you yell out? When you hurt and you going through and you don't have insurance to make it to the hospital, or maybe you are sitting up in a hospital and they done came in and they done said, look, ain't nothing else we can do. Who you call on? It's the relationship is what God is concerned about. Look around. Look around at everybody in here. Look at your neighbor. Everybody's still looking up here. Look at your neighbor. Look at the person beside you. Did anybody look at somebody sitting beside them that look exactly like them? Look, y'all look exactly alike. 97%. I'll take 97%, but do you look exactly alike? You're not going to find anybody that looks exactly alike, because God made us all different. And he says, you know what? I already know you. You got to get to know me. If I'm the creator, then I created you. I know everything about you. You got to get to know me. And so God isn't punching a clock. He ain't rustling to try to make sure the kids get out from school. He's not trying to go over homework. He's not sitting up there washing clothes. He ain't sitting there looking at stories. He ain't worried about, he's sitting there going, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you. You're going to need me. I'm waiting on you. Where you at? Oh, well, thank you for that prayer. Prayed over your food. Lord, we thank you for the food. Amen. You know that quick one that you get in? Or that one that you done got about halfway through with your plate and you say, oh, Lord, thank you. But he's saying, where are you? When are you going to spend some time with me? Imagine this. As a parent, we don't have all of the answers. But as a parent, we know the majority of the stuff our children are going through. And we have an answer for them. But our children don't listen sometimes. And they want to do it their own way. And they say, well, I got to have my own experiences so I can get it. But you sitting there saying, I already know the answer. Already know what you need to do, Lord. Lord, if you just listen. How many of us as adults sit here right now and say, Lord, if I just would have listened, if I just would have listened, they were setting me up. They were setting me up. I had it. It was all in line. And I went out there and if I just would have listened. So no matter what end you on, you see how that feels, right? Imagine how God feels. He says, I already know what I've purposed for their lives. I've already got it set up. It's already lined out here. If they would just walk right here, if they would just, I'm telling them, take this step, but they want to, Lord have mercy. They going all over here. They doing this right here. If they would just listen, if they just follow the commandments, if they just listen. I remember being out there in the world and doing a whole bunch of worldly stuff, and I thought I was doing okay. I had a little bit of money in my pocket, but I was always looking over my shoulders. I was always looking to find out, Lord, who coming to get me next? because I know I was doing things that I wasn't supposed to be doing so that any time I could get ran up on. But when I stopped doing all of that mess and said, Lord, let me just go out here and get me a job. Let me go out here and do what it is I'm supposed to do. Let me go ahead and do it the right way. Yeah, I might not have as much in my pocket as I had back then, but I ain't got to look over my shoulder. If I just would have listened, Lord, when I first started that job and I was getting that little, if I'd have just put just a little bit up, I ain't had to go get something new every paycheck I got. If I'd have just put a little bit up. Amen. Okay. So let me show you verse 16 says, circumcise therefore, amen. Let me go back. I'm sorry. We did 13. 14 says, behold the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, and the earth also with all that therein is. Everything is God. God controls everything. God is the only one that can bless us with anything. He controls everything. It says only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. This is a promise that we see that continues on even until this day. God has said, you know what? Because I've made a promise, I'm going to keep my promise. Because I've made a promise, no matter how you mess up, whatever, I'm going to give you chance after chance after chance, and to do the right thing. I know you. I know that you have the ability to change your mind. I know that your heart, you're willing to do the right thing. Verse 16 says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. I read that and I was like, wait a minute, what in the world is this King James Version trying to say here? Circumcise the foreskin of your heart, stiff-necked, what? But as I meditated over that, God said, it's natural for a male to be born with foreskin. It's a natural thing. So I read that and I received it as God saying, it's natural for us to be stubborn. Because we're born into sin, it's natural for us to be stubborn. It's natural for us to have a heart against God because we're born in sin. And so sin reigns if we don't make that decision. He says, since it's natural to do that, be willing to change your heart, to circumcise your heart, and don't be so stubborn in your own ways. And I said, wow, that's the ticket right there. That's where it changed. When I stopped thinking that I knew everything. When I stopped being so stubborn about my decisions and wanting to do it my own way, that's when things changed. Amen. Last scripture. This 22. It says, thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. 70 persons. Anybody know how many people that is? No. 70. Amen. 70. A score is 20. 70 persons. 70 people. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven a multitude. He says, look, I took a little bit and I turned it into a whole lot. I took one promise with Abraham and now I turned it into a whole lot. I turned it into a whole lot so that not only my chosen people would have a way unto me, but now I've wrapped myself in flesh in the form of Jesus Christ and came back and I offered myself as a sacrifice so that even Gentiles would have a way. Even those that weren't chosen. That if they just would believe that Jesus is who he says that he is, that he rose on the third day, if they would believe it and confess with their mouth, then they shall be saved. Whosoever would do this will be saved. I'm here to tell you, no matter what your situation look like, God can take a little bit and he can turn it into a whole lot. Where the enemy has us downtrodden and has us beat up, we just got to remember God's promise. God said, I got you. He said, here's the evidence that I got you. I took 70 people and multiply them into the amount more than the stars. Even today, with all the technology and everything else we got, we can't count all the stars. God says, I've got it. If you would just remember my promises, remember, I'm committed to you. Amen. It's because of God, not because of us. Let's get that out of our minds so that the enemy can no longer get us caught up. Remember, I told you that this story actually starts back a little bit further. You start around the 8th chapter. Well, when you read that 8th chapter, you'll find in there that God is speaking to him. I think it's around the 17th. Did I write it down? Around the 17th verse, that God says, look, it's not because of you that God's keeping his promise. It's because of God. The promise is not based upon you. God says, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. God says, I'm not going to sin because I'm not going to be a liar. I said I was going to take care of you, so I'm going to take care of you. I said if you do this, then I'll do that. Is there anybody willing to try God on his word? It says, this is what it is that the Lord thy God would require of thee. That we would fear him, that we'd walk in his way, that we'd love him, that we'd serve him, and that we would observe his commandments. It's personal decision time. If you're able to stand to your feet, please do. After listening to God's word here today, is there anybody that's willing to try God at his word? Whatever your situation, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that's happening, can you identify an area? Can you identify an area? Can you identify an area in your life where you can say, you know what? I do put something else before God. I don't need to know what it is. And don't fool yourself into thinking that that's so out there, because there's folk that definitely do it. I know there was times in my life that I would look at stuff and I would put it before the Lord. I do my best now to make God number one, but I still put my pants on one leg at a time. My wife don't bend down and tie my shoes. I got to tie my own. And so there are areas, there are situations, there are circumstances that if I'm not careful, I myself would feel inadequate. But because I know God, because I know he's right there, I consciously make a decision that even in the midst of when I want to get angry, even when I want to show out, even when I want to give somebody a piece of my mind, I feel the Lord more. I know that God can take care of them better than I can. Even if I get to the place that I want to put my hands on, a bruise don't last always. But the Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He says, you are my children. And so as a parent, how much you fight for your child, how much more do you think the Lord would do it for you? Is that your personal decision here today? Yeah, I got some areas that I don't put God first in. I look at my own abilities. I look at my own power. I look at that piece of paper, that education that I have. I look at my title, and I put that sometimes before the Lord. But today, my personal decision is that I want to choose to fear God and put him before everything in my life. If that's you, would you come? Is there someone to say, you know what? Yeah, I don't walk the way I...